The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
We're all embarrassed here. We're all embarrassed. Now, in February of 2017, which is nearly 2 years ago now, 18-year-old Chantelle Tynan made a video desperately appealing for people's help to get her life-saving treatment for the rare, incurable and multifaceted cancer she was battling with at the time. We spoke to Chantelle at the time when she put out the call. They needed 500,000 euro to get to Texas for a clinical trial. And after her appeal went viral, they successfully raised over 700,000 thanks to Irish people's generosity. Chantelle stayed in Texas receiving treatment for 20 months before coming home this time last year. And we said we'd catch up with her because we've never had you in studio, Chantelle, have we?
No, I haven't been here.
No, you've been on the phone.
Yeah.
And you brought your mum with you, Leona. How are you doing, Leona?
Good.
All the way up from Carlow.
Yeah.
Carlow Town. And I know you have to get a train. What time is the train at?
20 to 5.
Okay, we'll get you on the train. Yeah. We'll get you on the train. Okay. What age were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 16.
Right.
So I was having issues for the whole of year that I was 15, and then I got actually diagnosed at 16. And yeah.
Horrific.
Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah. And it wasn't just cancer. It was a rare type of cancer.
Yeah. So firstly, we found one tumour, and then I had an MRI and we found it on my brain as well. And that made my cancer multisystem, which is a lot harder to treat than single system. And so it started off in the brain and the vulva, and then it kind of just scattered throughout my body, in my colon, stomach.
Yeah. Right. And we live in a world now, Leona, where you can put anything into Google.
Yeah.
And so you put it in and you found out that there was only one man in the world.
Yeah, well, I was going out of my mind for a really long time, and I started to look it up, and it was really hard to get like a name. Dr. McLean didn't come up straight away, but I started to read kind of lots of literature, and at the end of all of the reports was this Dr. McLean. So that's when I put him into Wikipedia, as you do. And I contacted him, not knowing that he would actually get back to me, but he got back to me within hours. So.
Right. And he recognised what you had, Chantelle.
Yeah, so basically my doctors in Ireland sent over a really detailed email of how I was doing, and also we did as well. And he tried to coordinate some sort of care in Ireland. So he actually started my first chemo protocol in Ireland. But then after 8 months of that failing, we actually went to the States to have a proper review done.
So I remember you telling me at the time that you had to go to Texas.
Yeah.
You had to go to Texas. Mm. And I suppose you told people on social media as well that you had to go to Texas. We just have a little clip from that. This might be tough for you now. This is, have you watched this back at all?
No,
you haven't. Okay. So this is from February 2017. And you were sort of at the last chance saloon here. This is your last port of call. Yeah. Yes. Here we go.
If you can do anything, or if you can even donate like 1 euro, like I'll leave the link below. You can contact me if you can do an event. But I really need to raise this money because I don't want to die. Yeah, there's really not much more to say. This is just how it is at the moment. This is what needs to happen.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And when people saw that, and it was, as you say, raw.
Yeah.
And it was very honest. Mm-hmm. And who does? Very few people want to die. You didn't want to die. Mm-hmm. And just, Leona, remind me then of what happened next. You put up that video.
Well, I had no idea that she had actually put up that video because she had been really, really low. And obviously now we had tried 9 different chemotherapies. They were all failing. She was getting progressively worse. There wasn't very much hope because over like the year prior to that, say we had raised over 100,000 from like anonymous, you know, donors, and then through the community coming together. So to be told that we had to come up with a minimum of 500,000 just for the initial treatment in a couple of months was... In my head, I was saying, this can't happen, so I'm going to lose my child. I felt so powerless. So she was really miserable, and I decided I was going to cook her favourite dinner. So I was down in the kitchen cooking the dinner, and my phone started to buzz because she had uploaded this video unknowns to me. It was just in the moment, and she just went with it. And my phone started buzzing and buzzing and buzzing, and I was like, who was, you know, I was driven demented because I was trying to get the dinner cooked. So everything was boiling over, and I'm going over looking at my phone, and I'm like, there's an error. Something's going on, like, and I start screaming the house down because it was literally, there was so many emails coming in from GoFundMe that I couldn't keep track. And my brother rang me and he said, did you see what's happening? And I hadn't actually went on to the total. I just seen the emails and I went on to the total, and within a few minutes, like, it was over like 100,000. And for the next 24 hours, like, the dinner boiled over. We didn't even eat it.
What is your favourite dinner?
My favourite dinner is a roast.
The roast, okay, yeah. Okay.
So for the next 24 hours, we didn't sleep. We just sat there refreshing the page, like, and just couldn't believe it. It was just like, it was like, I can't describe it. I can imagine that it's how somebody feels like if they won the Euro Millions, not even the lottery, because this meant everything to us. Yeah. You know, they're like, I can't even describe it. It was just incredible.
It was going to save a possibility of saving Chantelle's life.
That's
what it was.
There was so many times that we had tried to go viral and tried to get my story out there. And it was over a period of time that I actually had to be there. Like, the first 2 years, it was like we were going back and forth and we were seeing what they could do from me living in Ireland. But this got to the point where the Irish doctors no longer could treat me. So I had to go to Texas, and this was kind of the last video that I thought I'd upload on it. And I wasn't expecting it to have such...
And it doesn't qualify for any, you don't qualify for any government scheme because it's outside of Europe.
Yeah, so we did.
It's not
ask,
only that. Either.
Go on.
It wasn't only that, like, I worked in depth with this. It wasn't only that. There is some funding if you need to get treatment outside of Europe if it's not available within Europe. But when it becomes experimental, they will not. There is absolutely 100% no chance that you will get funding for experimental treatment. And we were gone through all of the different protocols that Dr. McLean had said we could try. We had done all of those in Ireland. And the drug was available. But this drug that saved my child's life was called clofarabine, and it cost $135,000 for 5 days. So we were really lucky that we raised what we did, because obviously her treatment was longer than we had
anticipated. Yeah.
We were hopeful that we were going to be over there for a year. We had huge support from the Gavin Glynn Foundation, you know, as they helped us with our apartment, flights, logistical stuff. And we wouldn't have been able to even get there in the first place without them. But because we had to stay so long, our bill actually, we would still owe $1.5 million at this point. But because the hospital heard her plea, seen what the public done for her, they said whatever we had, they were going to work it out and that they were going to treat her. So it just, like, you know, everything kind of had a knock-on effect.
Yeah,
it was.
I know you've thanked people before, Chantal, but I'm sure you're constantly thanking them.
Oh, I feel like I could never say thank you just enough, because that year was just so powerful for me. Like, I couldn't believe that we were travelling back in February to Texas just to have one more kind of appointment. We hadn't had the money yet, and then I put that video up, we raised the money, we go to Texas, and then they tell me that I actually wasn't well enough to fly home, but we had just raised enough, so it was just perfect timing. Everything worked out perfectly. And just,
you're very close, because Leona, you were Chantelle when you were 18.
I always say that she's, you know, she's been my one constant throughout my whole adult life. I don't know you know what it is to be a fleeting teenager or whatever, because she was there from the time I was 18. So she was an only child for 8 years as well.
Right.
And through everything I've been through in my life, she's been by my side. Yeah. So it is.
You're very, very close.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of teenage years, you were sort of, they were taken from you, weren't they?
Yeah. It's like I matured really well in the hospital, but anything outside of the hospital, like real adult life struggles, college, things like that, I missed out on.
Okay. But I would imagine it fast tracks your maturity, because you're so close to death. You have a different way of looking at life.
When you have to plan your funeral and do that kind of almost with a smile, because you want to be positive about it and you want that experience to be good for the people around you. Like, I didn't really think about it as it being a funeral for myself, but for the living and for the people who would be there and how they would cope when I was gone. These are all of the different things that would go through my mind all of the time. It wasn't about me going. Obviously, I wanted to live, but at the same time, I was worried about everyone else around me if I was gone. That was like the biggest struggle. And I think that's where the doctors in Texas came in. Every time I had a negative thought, because obviously there was, I was going down such a negative hill and I was getting worse, they would always try and keep me positive and help me in whatever way they could. At times they didn't really know where I was going either, yes, but they always kept me positive and they always approached everything with a smile. Okay. And I think that's what helped us.
Now, we spoke to you when you were cancer-free, yeah, and such. Where is it at now?
So it doesn't actually get cancer-free, but it gets to no active cancer.
No active cancer,
yeah,
right.
So there's no cure, but it's very,
it's dormant.
It's dormant, yeah. There's no evidence of the disease in a year now, so it's brilliant. I'm on one oral chemo tablet a day, and I'm on a few other medications, but I'm doing really, really well. Okay.
Have things got back to some sort of normality for you?
Yeah, so the first thing I did was kind of got back into fitness, because I lost a lot of my stamina throughout chemo. And I obviously gained a lot of weight on steroids and things. So I've gotten back into exercise. So I exercise twice a week. I do like intense classes and then I do a walk each day. And I'm looking into college now, because yeah, I wanted to wait until I had like a year of no evidence of the disease coming back before looking into college. So now I'm ready.
Right.
She has her open night on Thursday.
Yeah,
so we're excited that
you're going in
to start the new year.
Carlo IT. Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And there's some other aspect of your life that's doing well?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend.
All right.
Lee, he's amazing. He's been very, very supportive. There is only so much you can do when you haven't actually had cancer in your life, but he's taken it in his stride and he is so, so supportive. So yeah, that's really, really good.
Leona, you're beaming there. Yeah. Can't get the smile off your face.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. We've come a long way, you know. There was days there didn't look very bright, you know. It was really, really tough. And I suppose like looking at her today and thinking about where she was even this time 2 years ago, it's very different place, you know. So we're excited now, because last year when we got home, it was like a big rush to Christmas. And, you know, we were absolutely over the moon to be home, obviously, but everything felt like it was pressure. Mm. And, you know, you're trying to catch up with people and everything. And this year has just like, things have just started to become like, it's a different normal. It's, yes, I won't say it's the same, you know.
Because your attitude to life must be different as well.
I think it changes everything. Like, you, things that were once important are no longer important, you know. It's just you look at things very, very differently. You're more appreciative of the things around you, you know, the people around you, and other things that are just less significant and they don't matter so much.
Yeah. So what are the plans for Christmas? There'll be a roast dinner, I'd imagine.
There'll be the turkey on Christmas Day and then the roast on St. Stephen's Day.
How does your mum do her roast potatoes?
Oh, she does amazing roast.
Does she?
Potatoes.
Do you parboil them, Leona?
I actually don't. I
don't
slow,
they're frozen.
No, I slow roast them and then I add the goose fat and the whole lot of.
Slow roast them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then how do they get crispy then? If they're
Because then at the end you shake them and you put the goose fat on and
turn up the temperature. Do
yeah.
You? Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then scald them.
You scald them then. Okay, right. Right, yeah. So you're looking forward to that.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Have you written a list, or what way does it work?
Well, Santa still comes.
Yeah. We do the four gift rule in our house. So yeah, we do something you want, something you need, something to wear and something to read.
Wow, and I'm going to write that down. The four gift rule. Go on,
yeah,
give it to me again.
Something you want.
Yeah.
Something you need.
Yeah.
Something to wear,
yeah,
and something to read.
Oh, very good. That's yeah, very good. And it rhymes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you get that from? Did you come up with it yourself? Or?
No, I didn't come up with it myself. I heard it years back and then I just thought, you know what, like the kids get so much, like Christmas isn't like it was when we were kids, you know. When we were kids, you got everything at Christmas or your birthday. Yeah. But now it's like
Oh, yes.
You know, everyone's getting
everything.
Every day is
Christmas Day. Yeah,
yeah, it is. You know, like, no one really needs anything if you think about it. There's very
some people
little.
Do, but most of us do. Yeah.
You know, in the bigger scheme of things, we don't need these things that
so
we think
So the four gift rule, something you want, something you need, something to wear and something to read.
Yeah.
There you go. As delivered by Leona Tynan. Chantal, great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and you're looking great, and good luck with everything. Yeah. College and boyfriend and exercise and all that.
Yeah.
And Leona, great to see you as well. Happy Christmas.
You too.
Happy
Thanks Christmas. A million.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Hope you get the train.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.